In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is it just me, or it seems that every year the radio stations are not even waiting for us to finish eating all that Thanksgiving food to start Christmas songs? Yeah, I was driving on the day after Thanksgiving and decided to turn the radio on, and of course, a Christmas song was already playing. And almost immediately, I heard a voice coming from the back seat saying, "Dad, it's not time for that yet. Please change that station." I must confess that it warmed my heart as a father and pastor to hear when I heard that. Yes, it may feel like it's not time for that yet, but every year there is a magical switch that suddenly makes you start hearing, "Joy to the world, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hark the glad sound, hark a thrilling voice is sounding." Apparently, we need to be ready and joyful and thrilled for Christmas while that full belly of Thanksgiving is not even digested. But then we come to church today and we hear a voice in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 3 that's not so thrilling to hear. It doesn't seem to be a glad song. What does that sound like? Well, the glad and thrilling sound in our reading this morning sounds something like this. "You brood of vipers, produce fruits worthy of repentance. Share your clothing and your food. Don't cheat others out of money, and be content with what you get paid." Now, hold on right there. I thought it was supposed to be a glad sound, a thrilling voice. But when you actually listen to John the Baptist, it just sounds like he's preaching at us. And who likes to be preached at? We don't like someone telling us we are bad and wrong and telling us we need to do this or that. That's preaching, someone may say. And to the sinful human heart, there is nothing worse than being preached at. Who does that person think he is to tell me what to do? That's how our sinful human heart reacts. However, faith, the faith in Christ that God has granted us in our hearts, when faith hears the preaching from God's word, when faith hears that there is a better life to be lived than the one I'm living right now, when faith hears that there is a new king coming and a new kingdom to live in, when faith hears that this king is merciful, that he does not condemn us for our sins and our weaknesses, but he is also the Lamb of God who bears our sins on the cross, when faith hears that the king comes not only to forgive us, but also to raise us up to newness of life, faith hears all this as a glad song, as the most thrilling voice. Yes, my dear fellow sinners and believers in Christ, confess along with me today that God's ways are better than our ways. Confess with me today that our lives leave much to be desired before God. And rejoice with me today at the glad news that Jesus Christ has come into the world to grant sinners like us mercy and forgiveness, and to lift us up to a new life, a better life. The good news of a new life may sound preachy and irritating to the sinful heart, but your faith, the voice that urges us to a new life in Christ, is a glad sound. To faith, the voice that urges us to a new life in Christ is a glad sound. So today, I would like to reflect on three phrases from our gospel reading, where John the Baptist gives us a thrilling call to a new life in Christ. And phrase number one is this: you brood of vipers. John the Baptist apparently wasn't much of a charmer. I mean, there are a lot of polite and acceptable ways to, you know, extend a greeting to someone. Welcome! How are you today? It's nice to see you. Thank you for coming. But calling people the offspring or poisonous serpents doesn't seem so kind. With this stinging accusation, John was rebuking the entire crowd of people who came to him. And so this morning, John the Baptist aims that sharp accusation at each one of us as well. You brood of vipers. You children of snakes and of that ancient snake, the devil. But what on earth would possess this man to greet his guests in such a manner? And who was he anyway to say something like that about them, about us, this wild-looking man in the wilderness? John was the messenger sent by God to prepare the people for the coming Jesus Christ, by leading them to repent of their sins, and through repentance, to find forgiveness for their sins in Jesus. Calling people to repentance is just what John is doing by that accusation, you brood of vipers. There is no path to true repentance that does not run through this recognition. Brood of vipers truly describes me. And this isn't just a colorful way of speaking. Rather, in truth, I was, in my sinfulness, a child of the devil. The sin that still pulses in my heart and veins is serious, poisonous, and deadly. Because of my sinfulness, I deserve no more kindness and mercy from God than would be shown a poisonous viper slithering on the ground. The true repentance John the Baptist calls us, is a repentance that looks on our own sin as horrifying and repulsive. A repentance that confesses, I am a poor, miserable sinner. Repentance does not look on our sins with indifference or amusement, and certainly not with pride, as if to glory in one's shame. Repentant hearts look upon our sin with dread and willingly agree that we are indeed a brood of vipers. You could say that John's harsh greeting framed up a narrow gate there by the Jordan River. And at that gate, some people turn away and refuse to believe John's message. But many others entered through that gate. They owned up to the label brood of vipers. They came to John in repentance to hear the good news of forgiveness of their sins and to be baptized. Phrase number two, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. John warns that True repentance and forgiveness is the only escape from the severe judgment that is soon to come. Don't think that a casual repentance that goes through the motions without a genuine sorrow and turning away from our sins will save you. Don't think that you are secure just because you are children of Abraham, or perhaps for today, Missouri Synod Lutherans. The judgment is coming. The axe is already laid at the foot of the tree. Only with true repentance and forgiveness will sinners escape from the wrath to come. And our own Lutheran confessions are very clear on this point. They declare that good fruit, good works of every kind in life, should follow repentance. There can be no true conversion or repentance where resistance of sinning and good fruits do not follow. True faith is not ungrateful to God. Neither does true faith hate God's commandments. In a word, there is no inner repentance unless it also produces the outward turning away from sinning. This is what John the Baptist means when he says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Yet, it is also important to remember that John's message is described in our reading as good news, not bad news. Just a few verses after today's gospel, we read this. With many other exhortations, John preached good news to the people. And the good news is that whoever does repent of his sins finds forgiveness as a free gift of God. A free gift that does not depend on our own good works or good fruits, but rather depends on the perfect life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And the third phrase that the eager question of the people, what then shall we do? For those who acknowledge their sins and receive the joy and power of God's forgiveness, John's words were not a threat, but rather a thrilling encouragement and promise. Now you will bear fruits worthy of repentance. Among those coming out to John, there were many who repented and were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Their relieved hearts begged John to tell them, John, now what? What shall we do now that we are forgiven? What shall we do now that God has graciously welcomed me into his kingdom? And John answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. The evangelist Luke writes that, you know, even tax collectors and soldiers were asking John, what shall we do? Luke seems amazed at this. Even tax collectors and soldiers, two occupations particularly known for dishonesty and harassment, even they were transformed by the thrilling news of the Messiah. They gladly asked this prophet of God what they could do to express the gratitude that they were feeling in their hearts after being forgiven. What kinds of things could they do that would be worthy of such a great and free forgiveness? John's answer to this question was the good fruits of repentance and faith that changes in our daily lives. Show others the same kind of generous and merciful love that God has shown to you. And St. Paul often wrote in this way when he was encouraging the saints in various cities, the cities where he started churches and then wrote letters to them to encourage them in their faith. For example, to the Colossians, Paul writes that he prays they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. To the Philippians, Paul writes, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. To the Ephesians, I therefore urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And to the Thessalonians, Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. By faith, we too desire to live lives worthy of the great Savior, worthy of the great salvation that has been proclaimed and given to us. Not that our lives in themselves are worthy of the Lord. We will never bear enough good fruit in our lives that, you know, we can say, see, that's what I call the kind of life worthy to the Lord. No. All Christians fall short. And that's why we live always in repentance. And that's why our confidence and trust must always be in Christ alone. This Advent, then, we listen anew the glad, thrilling message of John the Baptist. The Savior is near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and live out your new life in Christ. Produce fruits worthy of repentance. To some, it sounds preachy. But by faith, we bow in repentance. We behold the mercy of God. And we gladly reply, what shall we do? What shall we do? In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.